Happy Sabbath. It's always a privilege to be in front of the people of God. Certainly our hearts are going out to those who are in the eye of the storm. The preamble before Christ comes is one of the things is that weather is going to go wild. But we know that just lets us know that Jesus is coming. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be ready for your return and help our family, our friends, those that you have put in our way, in our life, to prepare them. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I have something for you. If you take one and pass it to someone. You know, I think this is our fifth week. It's called No Worry Wednesday. No Worry Wednesday. Every Wednesday, now for the fifth Wednesday, we are refusing to worry. I said we are refusing to worry. Worry has become an epidemic on planet Earth. And truly, there are so many things that we can worry about. And it seems like it's become a requisite that if you care, then you worry. And if you really, really care, then you really, really worry. But I think the Gospels gives us a replacement. Instead of worry, God is giving us some other resources that we can use and at the same time show our care, show our love than worry. So my message is from what Christ said in the Gospel of Luke. I'll be talking from Luke chapter 18. Always pray and refuse to worry. Always pray and refuse to worry. You know, one of the most fascinating conversations that I've had when I worked for a technologies company, we made major radar for the military and internationally, different countries. The gentleman was a mechanical engineer. And prior to him coming to our company, he was a pilot. Now get this. He flew into hurricanes. Now this was before the Weather Channel. This was before it was common to hear people flying into a hurricane. I think I've heard tracking this hurricane that they have had three planes flying into the hurricane. That's odd, isn't it? To fly, and I was captivated listening to him talk about flying into a hurricane. And my mouth is open, and I'm saying, wow. And, I finally raised up the courage and say, weren't you scared? Weren't you afraid to fly? I mean, how many of you would want to fly and volunteer and fly into a hurricane? I don't know. I think I might leave that to someone else. I don't know. He said, yeah, I was, but I had a job to do. And I believe in these last days, God has a group of people amidst the worry, amidst the things that are going on, God's people will get the work done. What do you say? And it was interesting. This was in Connecticut. I was working in Connecticut, and I remember Connecticut was having a hurricane. And Connecticut generally doesn't get many hurricanes. And again, this was before the Weather Channel as such. And they were tracking the hurricane. And I remember a weather person, around his waist was a rope tied to a tree. And he was televising the weather. You know, again, we see this commonplace. This wasn't really common. And he was getting blown back and forth with the weather. And he was tied to the tree. And I thought he was crazy. To be quite frank with you. So we have people who will fly into a storm. We have people who will stand to the storm. I believe that God has a group of people who can speak to storms. I mean, didn't Jesus tell a storm, peace be still? And I believe the people of God are the only people on planet Earth that has been empowered that we can speak to a storm. And I hope you're joining us. Join us with No Worry Wednesday. You're going to just refuse to worry. I'm praying. I've been talking to the storm that it makes a right. I'm talking to the storm that it makes a right turn. Because why not? Why not? Why not? I mean, if we got people who are flying into storms and people who will stand in the storm, we're the people of God to speak to the storms of life. But see, one of the issues with us, it's hard for us to gather up that type of resource, gather up that type of thinking, because we can all be sidetracked, undercut by worry. Now, I was talking to a 10th grader, really has a brilliant mind. School is starting already, getting ready to worry. And, you know, a lot of classwork, you know, he wants to go to college and just a load of work. And again, we can be so inundated with worry. And so Luke chapter 18, verse 1 and 8, Christ really gives us a template on what to do besides worry. Now, I want you to think about that as the Holy Spirit challenges you about something about worry, you can just hold up your card and say, yeah, you know, I'm not going to worry, or I'm gonna refuse to worry. Are you with me? Just say, yeah, I'm going to refuse to worry about that, because I've been praying the Holy Spirit will bring things to mind that you will begin to refuse to worry, so that we're able to speak to the storms of life. And so Luke chapter 18, verse 1, then he spoke a parable to them that men is anthropos, so it really means humankind, humanity, should always pray and not lose heart. See, that's the first solution, that we should always pray, that whatever your issue is, always pray, always pray, always pray, and don't lose heart. And I'm thinking that don't lose heart means don't worry. Are you with me? So always pray and don't lose heart. Regardless, and generally when we worry about, it's usually about a person, a place, or a thing. And as much as you value whatever the value is, Jesus saying, always pray, always pray, always pray, and refuse to worry. And then verse 8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? I mean, think about it. Out of all the questions Jesus could ask, what will he find on planet Earth? Will it be oil? Will it be MasterCard or Visa? Will he find platinum card? What will he find? What is Christ valuing the last days of earth? Faith. So what Christ is saying, and hopefully you'll join us on Wednesday, wherever you are, you'll just refuse to worry. He's talking about persevering prayer and faith. Amen? That's what it requires to make it in these last days. Always pray, believe what God says, and refuse to worry. Amen? Refuse to worry. Because if we think about it, worry won't change a situation, but it will change you. And generally, the change of worry can end up pretty negative. You know, many people in hospitals are there. If we think about it, worry has some connection to it. May not be a physiological issue, but because of some worry, some fear, some trouble, I mean, have you ever had a stomach problem because you were just upset worrying about it? Oh, come on, shame the devil and tell the truth. Worry, worry. And so Jesus says, always pray and do not worry. And so there was context on why Christ spoke this parable. He was really answering a question found in Luke 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 20, a Pharisee asked Christ a question that caused Jesus to give this parable. Verse 20 says, and now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. See, they were waiting for the second coming. They thought when the Messiah would come, He would come in power and vanquish the Roman occupation and ushering in the kingdom of David with grace and peace. That's what they thought. That's what they expected, the second coming. And then Jesus said, hey, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. That if you're waiting for that type of event to happen, you're going to miss it, for the kingdom of God is within you. You know, God works on the inside out. He transforms our mind and our emotions. And so then Christ goes on and talks about some of the things that will happen prior to his return. And so verses 22, now I'm at Luke 17, verses 22 to 24, he says, oh, there's going to be false Christs and false prophets and false pastors. Do not be deceived. Then verse 25, he talks about that he would suffer. You know, before the second coming, Christ had to go to the cross. And as we await Christ's return, we're going to go through some stuff. And these natural disasters are just prophecy, although as painful as they are to us, just letting us know that even earth is groaning under the weight of sin. And then verses 31 to 36, Christ makes a comparison of three time periods: Noah's time period, Lot's time period, and then the people living in the last days. Are you with me? And what he contrasts, the comparison of all three periods, Noah's, Lot's, and people now living in our time, that one of the characteristics is that folk will be so busy. Hey, do you remember how busy you were before you came to God? I remember Saturday used to be my overtime day, my basketball day, my shopping day. I mean, Saturday, there was no Sabbath. It was Saturday, you know? And but thank God there's a God in heaven. And so Noah's day, they were so busy when deliverance came, they couldn't get into the ark, right? Lot's time, they were so busy. And if we look at what's going on in the last days, folk are busy. Folk are busy. He compares it, but he's trying to tell us that there's going to be a preoccupation of busyness and a preoccupation with people worrying. I'm asking you, what worry have you brought here to church? Who are you worrying about? A person? A place? A thing? I submit to you the blessing of Sabbath, the blessing of being a child of God, is that you can leave your worry with Jesus. That you can actually cast all your cares to him and wrestle. It's a fight. It's a fight not to worry. I mean, I'm thankful for No Worry Wednesday. You know, people are talking and about it. Even we have a couple of nurses, and they're sharing No Worry Wednesday with some surgeons. And after the third week, one of the surgeons said, hey, wait a minute. I'm not going to worry about this procedure. I have the skill set to do it. It's just so easy for you and I to worry about stuff. Just worry and worry and worry. And when we do, we miss out on God's power in our life. We miss out the possibilities of how God continue to affect the change. You know, I'm going to pray for the Mommy's Ministry. I'm so glad to hear that you're able to move out your comfort zone and really affect a positive change. You know, God has a ministry for each of you here. Guess what? Don't worry about it. Just do it. What do you say? I was going to wear my Nike shirt here and just say, just do it, but I couldn't find it. I was worried I couldn't find it. No, I'm only joking. And so Christ is telling the events that was going to happen before his return. And it's interesting. When he talks about, so verse 31, verse 31, he says, in that day, Luke 17, 31, in that day, who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them. Don't worry about your stuff. Maybe lose your life. And then he says and likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Don't go back and worry. What is God trying to release you from that you might be going back to, that you might be looking back to? There's some worry that God is trying to release you of, and you might be going back. You might be looking back. You might be talking back. Jesus saying, don't go back. Don't go back. And what's interesting to me, when he mentions Lot's time, verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Wow. Out of all the activities that were going on, all the sinful activities that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, he talks about Mrs. Lot. What was the deal with Mrs. Lot? What caused Jesus to highlight her amongst all the stuff that was happening at that time? Well, Genesis chapter 19, verse 17. Remember, Sodom and Gomorrah was kind of like the big city. I mean, they had a whole lot of stuff going on. They had the technology. You know, they had a lot of good things going on there. Genesis 19, 17. But, you know, judgment was ready to happen on the city. Just like we're witnessing the trumpets sounding. The trumpets of Revelation are sounding before our very eyes. And so it came to pass when they had brought them outside, talking about the angels getting Lot's family, he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountain lest you be destroyed. Right now it's the sealing time. Right now it's time for you and I to be so settled into the truth of God that we will not be moved. Yeah, we'll be worried about some stuff. Then we refuse to worry. Yes, we'll be concerned about some stuff. But we're going to be faithful because that's what Jesus is looking for. He says, when I return, will I really find faith on earth? It's time for you and I to be sealed with the love of God, with the grace of God, knowing who we believe in. So what was it? What was it? Now, if you read Genesis 19, 26, but his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. It was the deal wasn't that she looked back. I believe Mrs. Lot was going to go back. She was going to go back and get that iPad, go back to get that CD player, go back to get that 2017 car she just bought. I can't leave my stuff. I just got my stuff. I can't leave it. And she missed everything. And there's this word, syncretism, where there is a combining of different beliefs to try to make things work. And I'm wondering, what are we combining our beliefs with to try to make things work for us? And so that's the context that Christ gave this parable at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, he talks about this parable. And remember, Christ compares God to the unjust judge. Remember, there was an unjust judge and a widow kept coming to this unjust judge, and she just kept coming. She just kept coming. She just kept coming to the judge. And what Jesus is doing is comparing our Heavenly Father with this unjust judge, because, see, the unjust judge could provide help for this woman, and our Heavenly Father is our only source of help. What do you say? And so we are like that woman. We need God's help, just like the widow needs the help of that unjust judge. Now, there was something about this unjust judge. The Bible says in Luke 18 that he didn't care for God, nor did he care for people. He could care less. He was indifferent about this widow. And that's the context. That's the person that this widow had to try to seek help. Somebody who really didn't care about her. But guess what? Now, I'm thinking she could have worried, but I'm thinking she kind of refused to worry. She just kept at it. And then finally, the judge said, I'm going to grant her, I'm going to move in her favor because she wears me out. She just wears me out. And it's interesting what Jesus says. It's interesting what Jesus said. Verse 6. So the widow got answered prayer because she was tenacious. She was consistent. She was persistent. She was faithful. She just kept it. She refused to worry. She could have said, it's not going to work. Haven't you ever felt like that? Why bother? It's not going to work. They're against me. I'm outnumbered. But she just kept on. She kept on. She kept on. And Jesus said, verse 6, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. I mean, he ruled in her favor, not because of care or love or compassion or equity. He just got tired of the lady, got tired of her coming. And then Jesus said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long? See, that's the answer. You and I have to continue to cry out to God day and night. Sometimes that's the hardest thing, to keep on praying. Keep on praying when you don't see a result, when it doesn't seem like it's going to work, when you had one failure after another failure, when it feels, you just say, like, what's the use? And that's what Jesus is trying to deal with, our tension and our stress with prayer. When things aren't right, when things are unfair, when we are outnumbered. I mean, you've made a proper assessment. Yeah, those things are true. It is a reality. And yet, given that reality, that widow kept on praying or kept on coming to the judge. And that's what Christ is encouraging us with, persevering prayer and faith, to cry out day and night. Keep praying for that relative that might be on drugs, that might be have, keep on praying, keep on, because maybe if you stop, who will pray? Who will pray for them? Behind every great move of God, you'll find a kneeling figure. Somebody on earth will be faithful to pray. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in that number. I want God to know that he could say, hey, I need you to pray for somebody. And you may not know who he is. And, well, God, I got enough stuff. Harry said, I got enough stuff to pray for. I got enough things going on in my life. But this is the time. This is our only time right now. Whatever you're going to do for God, you might as well do it now. Do it with all the gusto. Do it with all give God your best. Give God your best. Because there's not much time. Or do you think? I mean, obviously, we don't know how much time it is, but my goodness, things are getting intense. Every day, it seems like there is an intensification. And we must meet that intensification. Always pray and refuse to worry. I want to throw out a worry checklist and see if anything resonates with you. Might let you know that maybe you really do have a issue with worry. Are your thoughts consumed with it? Is my time scheduled around it? Could my health be harmed by it? Does my guilt increase because of it? Are my finances affected by it? Am I defensive when asked about it? Are my relationships hurt by it? Am I upset when I can't do it? Is my spiritual growth hindered by it? Have I been asked to stop it? Have you ever anybody said, well, why don't you stop worrying? And then you get more angry. What do you mean? Would I be discouraged? Would I discourage my children from doing it? Do I hide it from others? Would Jesus avoid doing it? Does it diminish my witness for Christ? So here we are in these last days. It's time for you and I to be so settled into God's truth that we will not be moved. And just like this widow who had an insurmountable task, it seemed impossible, It's impossible to get Irma moving to the right. It's impossible. But I believe God has a group of people on planet Earth that just as Jesus said, peace be still, to weather gone wild. I mean, I'm not going to let an engineer outdo me who can fly into a hurricane. I can at least pray for that hurricane to turn right. Will you somebody join me to pray for that hurricane to turn right? Somebody's got to pray. And thank God for the meteorologists, but they don't think like this. They do a fine job, and I'm thankful that they tell us so that we can be prepared. And I'm not saying that we get ropes and tie ourselves to trees to the storm. I didn't say that. I just said we need to start speaking to this stuff day and night. And don't be saying, well, I spoke to it for 3 seconds. This is not a drive-through. We have to, you know, thank God for home-cooked meals. Isn't that great to have home-cooked meals? Home-cooked meal. It requires some home-cooked praying where you just, you know, maybe just lay out on the floor and just start talking to stuff. You know, think about it. How many of you talk to your plants? How many of you talk to your car? Oh, that's right. The guys. Look at that. That's right. See, already you will talk to stuff. You talk to stuff, inanimate stuff. Now, I'll pray for you if you're asking for it to talk back to you. Now there might be an issue. Now there might be an issue. But when you value stuff, you talk to it. So we need to start talking. See, what about in the name of Jesus? Father, we're asking you to turn Irma to the right. It's not by might. It's not by our power. But it's by the way the Spirit works. Lord, we already know that you have four angels holding back the winds of strife. You are equipped. God knows how to do this. All he needs some folk to talk like him. Behind every great move of God, you'll find a kneeling figure. So let the meteorologists, let them do their stuff. Now, I get tickled when I see them out there with their weather coats on in the storm, and I'm envisioning believers now will start talking to stuff, talking to the storms. Talk to the storm in your life. The widow had an impossible mission. Wish I had some Mission Impossible. Remember Mission Impossible? That theme, that was a great theme song. Yeah, this is Mission Impossible, but it can be done. What do you say? It can be done. If we just have that vision, if we just spend some time in God's word and believe that what God says is true, it can happen. And you know what? What you and I have to do is trust God. We have the faith and leave the results to him. That's what I've learned about being. Sometimes we want to dictate everything. Sometimes we want to control everything. Well, I prayed and it should happen. Well, stuff don't work like that. Remember Daniel prayed and it took 21 days and then the angel came back? The moment you prayed, but there's this battle going on. Do you still believe in the battle? There's this battle going on and we don't have information behind the battle. So when we pray, when you pray against your storm, whatever it is, whatever you're worrying about, person, place, or thing, whatever you brought here today, leave the result to God. Amen? Leave the result to God, but you do what you can do, and that is pray. And I'm saying to you, it's really in word. It says day and night. So sometimes the things in our life require daily attention, daily attention in order to be set free, in order to have a release, in order for God to move in our life. You know, I remember I seen it with my own eyes. Before my mother would get out of bed, her knees would hit the floor. And that was important because, you know, I tried to go to hell. I was enjoying life, but I knew I had somebody praying for me. I knew I had somebody, my dad too, but it was my mom who would get up in my face, you know. 5'4", something, looking down. That was a whole lot of praying there. So I'm so glad it's not about our weight or our height, but it's about our relationship with our God. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are living in an extraordinary time. We are seeing things that we have never seen happen. And in these clusters, I mean, not that they haven't happened before, but not in this cluster effect. So many things are happening and combining together. But through it all, you have not changed. And you offer this parable as an encouragement to your people to always pray and do and refuse to worry. Refuse to worry. So, Lord, this one thing we are doing on Wednesday, we're just refusing to worry. We're just refusing to worry. We're claiming your promises and getting before you on the things that we know that this is not magical thinking. This is not fantasy, but this is persevering prayer and faith. So right now I'm speaking to you. If there is a person that you're worried about, bring that person to the Lord right now. If it's a place, if it's a thing that causes you to worry, that detaches you, that creates a distance, this is your time. First of all, this is a time for you and I to repent. Why don't we offer repent? You repent in what you need to say, because maybe you have been preoccupied with stuff. We offer our confession to you, O Lord, that we have worried, but today marks that day where now we're going to have context. We're going to refuse to worry. There are 3,572 promises. You have more promises in the Bible than we have problems. Let us go to your word. Let us go to the word and let us pray like we have never prayed before. Give us a passion. Pray, not just for ourselves. We pray for those who are in the eye of weather going wild right now around this planet. Lord, we thank you for the peace that we are experiencing. We get to go in our car and drive wherever we want. May not always be that way. So let us prepare for the times we live in. In Jesus' name I pray. And we all said, I will refuse to worry. Amen. Just look at somebody and say, I'm going to refuse to worry. God bless and thank you for allowing me to share Sabbath with you.
Please stand. You again and make it a prayer today.
Heavenly Father, again, we just love you and thank you. And we want to be ready when you return. We want to help prepare those, our family and friends, co-workers, those who we go to school with for your glorious return. May we be found faithful. Empower us with your spirit and love. In Jesus' name.